But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you. And I've conquered it for you. God transmits his joy to his words. Living a Christ-centered life is the only source of true joy. Joy creates an atmosphere for God to move.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You heard the testimonies. That's joyful harvest. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You may be seated. God bless you. Praise God. Amen. Do you have your Bibles here? Glory to God. The punchable ones and the flippable ones. Let me just try a survey. A quick one. How many of you came here with hard copy of your Bible? Let me see. Raise it. Hard copy. Hard copy. 1, 2, 3. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Even hard copy. You understand? It's printed. 9. Amazing. 10. Amen. So 10. Out of this congregation. Don't feel judged, amen. Even me, I finally succumbed to the pressure. Hallelujah. And I'm using iPad now by force. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm sure you like it. So it's not a sin. Just make sure you have studying. And let me add, just make sure you have a backup hard copy. Are you with me? For some studies, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Begin your study from the hard copy where you can write. Someone say, Pastor, you are still old school. I can write on the software. Just agree with me, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We've been talking about the economy of joy. What a blessing. And CIN took it to another level this morning. Amen. And I sense in my heart, I'll just share a few things with us. The power of God will break out in our midst. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you have your expectations? Now, it's an impartation, a special service. There'll be impartations and miracles. Glory to God. So I want to do me a favor. Just pull out a piece of paper and write your top 3 expectations for this service. Just write them. Hallelujah. Don't be vague. Don't say, I want your name to be glorified in my life. That's vague. That's vague. Amen. That's vague. I want to please God. That's vague. That's vague. Hallelujah. Well, if you can say you want to please God, if you can add something specific, in what area? How will you know if the prayer is answered? Most times, and this is the reason many believers don't enjoy answered prayers. How will you know? Hallelujah. How will you know if the prayer is answered? So definiteness, just write it. Your spiritual life, your finances, your relationship, your marriage. Write top 3. Can we do that? If you have a hard copy, so a piece of paper. Your neighbor can give you a piece of paper. Hallelujah. Online, you can make sure you do that also. A piece of paper, just write top 3. What are your top 3 expectations? You see, when the power of God comes upon them, it energizes those expectations into manifestation. Are you with me? And you'll be encouraged. So can you write them? Top 3. If you are done writing them, say amen. If you are done writing them, say amen. If you're not done, say, wait for me. It could be your career, ministry. Just write the expectation. Our God is in the house. Amen. Amen. And he's asking, what will you have me do for you? And of course, in this service, the Lord will do beyond what we can ask or think. Amen. But the beginning point is what we ask. Hallelujah. Top 3. It can be 5. You don't need to stop at 3. It can be 5. If you are done, say amen. Amen. Okay, one more minute. Sorry, 30 more seconds. You are glorious. So glorious in your praise. You are glorious. So glorious in your praise. You are glorious. You are glorious. So glorious in your ways. From the rising of the sun right until it's going down, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth, with my mouth, shall I make it known. From the rising of the sun right until it's going down, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth, shall I make it known. From the rising of the sun right until it's going down, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. I will sing of the glory of the Lord. I will sing of the mercies of. Are you done? Hallelujah. If you are done, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think we are all done. Praise God. So just keep it on one side. And let's get into God's word very quickly. Praise God. So this should be the economy of joy, part 4a, I believe. Hallelujah. And I'll just share on joy and your mental health. Glory to God. We've shared amazing things that you should go back to. We talked about the true source of joy, true joy, okay, spelling joy. We said many beautiful things around the subject of Bible joy that I should go and visit. Amen. And the standout point for me, among others, and I'll just mention them again. One is that joy is a focus. Hallelujah. Before is a feeling. He said, I've set the Lord always before me. He is at my right hand. I'm not moved. He said, therefore, my heart rejoices. My tongue, he said, my heart is glad, my tongue rejoices, and my flesh shall rest in hope. Hallelujah. So when you find Christians who are agitated, let me make it personal. When you find yourself getting agitated, here and there, visit your focus. Glory to God. Check your focus again. Because if the Lord is always before you, your heart will be glad. Your tongue will rejoice. Your glory will rejoice. Your flesh will rest in joyful expectation. That's what hope is. Your flesh will rejoice. Sorry, your flesh will rest in joyful expectation. That's what hope is. Hallelujah. That is clear enough. Your focus. It doesn't matter what the devil throws at you. You must maintain your focus. And with the power, the things that joy produces that we mentioned in the first part, you should see why Satan fights your joy. Hallelujah. This is part of the decision you have to make from this teaching, that you will never let Satan have your joy. You will never let it happen. You will insist on maintaining a life of joy, no matter what happens. It has nothing to do with happenings. It has everything to do with your revelation of God's word and with your focus, your gaze, your attention being on God's word. He said, my son, give me your heart. Let your eyes observe my ways. So your heart is fixed on him. Your eyes are upon his word. Hallelujah. He said, incline your ears. He started by saying, Proverbs 4. Give it to me. He said, attend to my word. Attend to my word. Incline your ears to my sayings. Incline your ears. The Hebrew expression means to, you know, the way it means to hear with raising your ear. You mean to, angulation, thank you, that's the word. You angulate your ear. Have you seen animals, the way they move their ears? Some of you can do that. We don't know whether you belong to our species, amen? You can move your ears. How you do that is between you and God. You know the way animals move their ears to pick sound frequency? That's what he's talking about. You angulate your ears. Incline your ears to my saying. Hallelujah. Incline your ears to my saying. He said, keep them in the midst of your heart. Put them before your eyes. He said, for their life to those who find them. Medicine, mape. The Hebrew word means something that has therapeutic value. Is mape to all their flesh. So if the Lord is before you, your flesh will rest in hope. It will rest in hope. What you are facing in your closet should not show on your face. Because the Lord is always before you. You come out dancing. He said, you shall go forth with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break before you. What he's saying is for the mountains and the hills to break before you, you should be led forth in peace. You should go out with joy. That's what he's saying. One comes before the other. It's not possible to go out with joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and the hills will not break forth before you in singing. Mountains and hills talks about authority, authorities, institutions, the marketplace. That's what he's talking about. He said, this is key to dominion in the marketplace. That's what he's saying. I've told you before that joy, rejoicing is one of your skills set for dominion on the earth. What did he say? He said, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. This is the kingdom of God. It's impossible to walk in dominion without being resolute about your joy life. It's impossible. Because in life, problem not the finish. In primary school, you thought the best thing that could happen was for you to pass common entrance. After you were done, you enter secondary school. They say it's advanced algebra. And then it's junior WAEC. And then you were preparing. Hallelujah. If I can cross to senior secondary school, and then almighty WAEC, you crossed. And then almighty WAEC, you thought, if I could just pass. You know, recently I was thinking, I can't forget my SS3. You know, I wanted to go to ABU Zaria. Every day on my bunk, I thought about ABU. I thought about College of Medicine. I wanted to read medicine. It was on my mind. I would see myself going to lectures in the College of Medicine. I say, I just imagine they will not ask me, so why are you saying I'm studying medicine in school? I thought about it. In my mind, you wanted to go to B2. In my mind, if I can get to medicine, I'm fine. I'm just fine. Then we got to med school and I was tired after 2 years. I was tired. I said, I beg, let's get out of this medical school. So imagine if that natural response to life's uncertainties control your life, you will never be happy. Yes, sir. You can't let it control your life. After you are done from school, they say it's job. You got a job, glory to God. You didn't enter the labor market, you were in the favor market, you give the testimony. Then boom, who will I marry? And after marriage, children. After children, they need to go to school. We need to go for vacation. You saw your friend, they are in Dubai now, they are in London, and they are in Bahamas with their children. You're thinking, Lord, how do I say that's going to cost at least 5 million? How do we do? And come on. If you let that control your joy, you will never be happy. They are too ephemeral. They are too mundane. Are you with me? What people call life is too superficial to anchor your joy to. It's too superficial. When I get married, I'll be happy. Should you tell them? If you didn't come to the marriage with your own system of joy, you'll be sad. That means you marry with your own system. You know how to generate your happiness by yourself before you got married. If you are depending on someone to get you married, you'll be depressed. Nobody has been anointed to make you happy. Nobody. Are you with me? You can't outsource your joy to a fellow man. You can't do that. You can outsource it. It's personal. You keep the Lord always before you. This is how your heart gets glad, and your tongue rejoices, and your flesh rests in hope. We're talking about mental health today. Listen, this is important because, number one, the state of your mind affects your productivity, yes, your service to God, and the fulfillment of your assignment on the earth. It's very important. And also because of the onslaught of hell against our minds. Satan knows the importance of mental stability. He knows the importance of emotional stability. Listen, we are at war. This generation is at war. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
We are at war. Satan wants to raise a sick generation. That's what he wants. Have you noticed? You know, I was telling Firstly recently, the level of stroke in the young now is alarming. That's cardiovascular accident. Of course, coming from hypertension, heart diseases, all lifestyle related, coming from stress, from hormonal distortion, increased stress hormone. Amazing. My electrician, of course, I don't interface with him anymore, but he had worked on my car for years. I just said two weeks ago that I have stroke, a young man. And then yesterday, Yanni was telling me that he passed. A young man. In recent time, that's like the third person that I know. It's true. People in their 20s and 30s. It's alarming. Are you with me? The pressure is much. I know, I understand. But God has the answers. Let me give you some statistics. Let me just give you some amazing stuff. Currently, about 1 billion people in the world, that's more than 10%, are affected by mental health issues. And top of the list is depression and anxiety disorders. But God has the answers. He does. I believe personally that the answer is joy, is the joy of the Holy Ghost. I believe the system of joy that God has given us in His Word is the answer to this trouble. You see, this is, if you have been there, some of you have been there before, you understand, it's not a good place to be. It's not a good, so it's not okay, I have depression. No, it's not a good place to be. It affects every area of your life, your productivity, even your physical health. Because listen, certain illnesses are psychosomatic, we call it. That means it begins to flow from your mind until your body is affected. How can more than 10% of the world have mental issues? And there's been a sharp in the rise of the incidents, a sharp increase rather, in the incidence of these things in the last 15 years, in the last 20 years. In fact, it was said that during the pandemic, the incidence of depression rose threefold, increased by, that's 200%. No, 300%. Yes, do you understand what I just said? It was amplified. If in America, it rose to over 31%. That's, you don't know how insane that is. That means 1 in 3 person was depressed. Is alarming. But listen, God has the answers. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
His word is the answer. His wisdom is the answer. Hallelujah. Write this down. The joy of the Lord and depression and anxiety disorders are mutually exclusive. They don't coexist. It's like water and fire. Amen. They cannot coexist. God's answer is his word. It starts by calling them what God calls them. He calls depression the spirit of heaviness. And he gives us an answer. He gives us a cure, rather, in Isaiah 61 verse 3. He calls the spirit of heaviness. And he said the cure is the oil of joy and the garment of praise. Hallelujah. In Philippians 4:6, he said, instead of being anxious, pray and give thanks. So when you look into God's word, I love the word of God. You see, God will always come to man's context. He will come to your level and let you know that, look, I understand what you're going through. But he shows you the way out. He shows you a vision. Anxiety is mentioned in the Bible. Depression is mentioned in the Bible. Fear is mentioned in the Bible. Nothing is new. Absolutely nothing is new. This word is been a cycle. Glory to God. It's like there's nothing that is happening now that's not happened before. Certain tools available may have magnified it. The homosexuals taking over society happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. Are you with me? It happened. They were public. This is not the first time they were coming out public. And God summarized that generation as he's about to summarize this one. Amen. Are you with me? They were public. They said, we want to sleep with the men. They came to a man's house. In fact, they offered them women. I said, no. Bring out the men. So, listen. How many of you had Kai? What a confusion. And that shows it had nothing to do with they were attracted to the men. No. It was godless arrogance. It was the system of the Antichrist that have cultured people to oppose the system of the Christ. Summary, that was what was happening then. People were walking. It was a civilization of rebellion. Are you with me? Pure rebellion. So nothing is new. Absolutely. Listen, if you are not too modern for the ancient world, you'll be ahead. You'll be ahead. You'll be ahead. Glory to God forevermore. He said, be anxious for nothing. He tells you what to do. Pray. We'll get into that shortly. He has answers. Our part is to respond to his word. Our part is to let him, James chapter 1 verse 21, Message translation, is to let him make a beautiful garden, salvation garden, out of our lives. Hallelujah. Let's read our scripture again. It's so beautiful to read. At least we'll have our screens back. James 1:21. Let's read the scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How can 31% of the population, almost 33% of the population, be depressed? Now, that's a pointer to where the people's attention, all the people's focus is. Yes, it is. It tells so much about what we have anchored our souls to. And this will tell you that you can't. Listen, if you have not learned anything from 2020, you should learn this. That the systems of the world cannot be trusted. Yes, have you learned that already?
Yes,
you should have. Why were they getting depressed? Because there was so much confidence in the world system. One. Number two, people had empty souls and they were covering it with all kinds of activities. So when the activities were taken away from them, they did not understand how to go back to the basics. In Abuja, the first 6 months of 2020, in one customary court, there were over 6,000 filed cases. Over 3 or 6,000 filed cases of divorce. After the lockdown, in one court. That's the filing in one court. So by the time you take all that court, you're talking about tens of thousands of marriages that crashed in 2020. What happened? You woke up in the morning and go to work and come out in the evening. There was no relation. Nothing was happening. Amen. When it was time to get together and now you are seeing Fuska. Amen. There was trouble. no self-control, no patience, no tolerance, no love. It exposed many defects in the soul. Are you with me? Many defects in the soul. But you see, you don't prepare for battle in the day of battle. You have to learn what is worthy enough for your soul to be anchored to. The writer of Hebrews said, this we have, this hope we have as the anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast. That means the anchor for your soul must be sure and steadfast. And there's nothing more sure than the sure word of prophecy. Are you with me? The covenant, the context of Hebrews 6 was talking about the covenant, the oath of promise that God gave to Abraham. He was talking about the word of God. He said, this is the hope we have as the anchor for our soul, both sure and steadfast. I'm preaching good. Yes, are you with me?
Yes,
thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. That scripture, put it up. Let's read it. Remember now, Message translation. All right, so today I just want to handle three key joys. We talked about some of them already. Unforgiveness and offense. You took that on Tuesday. Hallelujah. Amen. I spoke about fear a little on Sunday. Today I'll speak on three things. Number one, competition. You see, these things have the tendency of affecting your mental health very fast. Competition, anxiety and worry. And number three, unregulated social media use. Can we have this conversation? Hallelujah. Let's read a beautiful scripture before we go on. Is it throw all spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage? In simple humility, let our gardener, God, landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden of your life. Hallelujah. Making a salvation garden of your life. Beautiful. So as the word of God comes forth, God is landscaping you. God is making a salvation garden of your life. That's what's going on. He said, let him. Hallelujah. All right, competition and comparison, they go together. Competition, comparison. You see, every believer has a unique destiny. Let me start from there. Every Christian, according to scriptures, has a unique destiny. And you see, there is a unique prophetic path to that destiny. Every believer. The Bible talks about God having called us, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, I believe. He said, who is workmanship, created unto good works, right? Created unto good works and to walk in paths which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. That sounds generic. But you see, by the time we go from individual to individual, there is a specific, special, unique, prophetic path. Yeah. For the fulfillment of everybody's assignment on the earth. You see, that understanding is foundational in dealing with comparison and competition. That look, I have a unique destiny. That means no role, no responsibility, no assignment on the earth is inferior. None. 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 In the kingdom, there are no inferior assignments. None. Every call is a high calling. Hallelujah. Every call is unique. But the beautiful part is, we also have, even when calls and assignment look similar, they are different prophetic paths to arriving there. Hallelujah. Different prophetic paths. And in our walk with God, we have to understand that how God accomplished this with one person is not the same way you accomplish the same thing with another person. It's not the same method, not necessarily the same method, not necessarily the same timing, not necessarily the same instruction. Are you with me? If you are a Samson, the way you will kill your path through the lion will be to take hold of the lion and tear the mouth. If you are a Daniel, your path through the lion is to keep quiet and watch the angels shut the mouth of the lions. If as a darling you are trying to tear the mouth, you may be torn. Are you with me? Moses, imagine looking at Moses. Moses was a prophet. One of the greatest prophets in the New Testament. A Jew must not hear me say this. To the Jew, Moses is the greatest prophet ever. Yep. To the Jews, not Jeremiah. So let's compare Moses and Jeremiah. Moses, a major prophet that in Judaism is considered as the greatest. In Judaism, if you looked at him at 75, he was on the farm with cattle, with one stick, looking hopeless, no future ambition. Are you with me? Imagine peeping without the benefit of hindsight. Come on now. Without the benefit of the visions of God. Peeping at Moses, a man who was once in the palace, a potential monarch, at the backside of the desert, tending Jethro's cattle, which were not even many, at 75. At 78, you still see him there. And you are wondering, God has left this man. But unknown to you, God was preparing him for one of the greatest assignments ever. Yes, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Listen, you can never estimate and calculate the future of a man. Let me put it this way. You can never predict the future of a man by calculating and estimate their current season. You can't. You can't. You can never do that. It's impossible. You can't. But if you don't understand this, you see, the danger of competition, you may think you are ahead when you are not. And you may think you are behind when you are not. Why not walk your lane and run your race? Are you with me? This is Moses. It's different from Jeremiah. Jeremiah at 70 was already prophesying. At 20 was talking to the entire Jewish nation. Are you with me? So our paths are different. Our assignments are different. Our paths to getting there are different. This should relieve pressure on your mind. When God created you, put you in a class of your own. And he marked a unique path for you that you will unveil as you walk with him. Hallelujah. A dear man of God gave his illustration. Spoke about David and Joseph, and he blessed me. You see, if you study these two people, you notice that they have similar destination. Political career, being in the palace. Joseph, David. You see, David at 30 became the king of Israel. Joseph at 30 became the prime minister of Egypt. But both of them had radically different processes. Very different. At 18, Joseph was in prison. At 18, David was already a national figure, famous. He was famous. One in prison, one famous. Imagine if you put them side by side and you are studying them. If you are looking at this guy and analyzing his future by his current happenings, you will miss God. You will miss God a mile. This guy is, when will he get out of here? But at 30, they arrived at the same place. Pam, throne. Are you with me? One from obscurity. While one had national notoriety and popularity from 17. Are you with me? Never. You don't have the same path with anybody. Your path is unique. And God wants you to be satisfied with your own unique dealing, with your own unique path, with your own unique assignment. He wants you to be satisfied. Because truly, our satisfaction is in him. Learn a little from John the Baptist. You remember John the Baptist? Put a scripture over for me. You remember John the Baptist? You can learn from him. John chapter 3, 26 to 30. John was satisfied in his role and in his lane. If John was... Kenneth Hagin said this many years ago and he blessed me. He said, in the move of God, he said, I'm satisfied to assist. If I'm not the main man in God's number, I'm satisfied. What he had is the same thing John had. Look at John's attitude. And they came to John. You see, there are people who say things to stir competition. There are people who say things to stir comparison. This one, see grace there. This one, where God is helping you. But this, have you heard? There are young people who are drowning in this sea of competition, especially ministry. Listen, you can't judge a kappa. You can't judge where God is taking a man to by analyzing his physical results. You will miss God a mile. You will. Everything can flip. In one day, everything can flip. For a ministry person, for a business person, maritally, financially, career, everything can flip in one day. And this is why you must honor everybody. So you don't have to deal with the awkwardness of, you understand? You're treating the person anyhow. And then suddenly, God lifts him. And they are trying to say, sir, ma. It will be awkward, praise God. So God prepares your eyes. He says, honor all men. Honor all men. Things can flip in a day. In a day. Ask Joseph. In a day. Imagine someone was maltreating me in the dungeon. Then he becomes your prime minister next week. No, next day. And then you, in those days, rulership was strong. You had to come. If he told you to lie down and greet him every day, you had to do that. Hallelujah. You see, if you're looking at Joseph with the eyes of the flesh, you can't predict that. Or if you are Joseph without the insight of the Spirit, you can't predict yourself arriving. Listen, even if you can interpret dreams, you cannot give Pharaoh a dream. Certain things are out of your hand. You can't give her a dream. This is why to think that everything is intellectual, is your hard work, is your calculation, is to waste your time and to waste your life. There are places where your effort stops. The supernatural power of God takes over. And this is why you must understand and honor impartations. You must not everything is intellectual. There are things you can't control. Hallelujah. Are you blessed already? Yes, glory to God. The impartation is already happening. Yes, hallelujah. Scriptures, look at this. And they came to John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes all men, and all men come to him. They are saying, he has stolen your show. He has stolen your show. He has stolen your show. He took your members. Aren't you going to respond? Those are chicken pastors. Amen. If you are an ego pastor, you don't care. Listen, your job as a leader, your job is to blaze the trail. People will come and follow you. That's what they were doing. All men have gone to him. And the person they were talking about, as we'll see shortly, doesn't care. He doesn't care about the crowd. His relevance was not in the crowd. The other day, everybody left him, save the 12 disciples. And he turned and said, bros, will you also go away? I'm glad John had the right attitude. Look at this. He said, all men have gone to him. They were trying to stir competition. Can't you see he's doing better than you? He's a better preacher. He's a better speaker. He takes prayer better. Amen. He's better at this business. And then something, jealousy is trying to rise. Kill it. Are you with me? Kill it. Your path is different. Look at this. 27. Next verse. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from... What an attitude. What an attitude. What an attitude. They came and said that your roommate is marrying the best guy in town, and it's not true. There's no such thing as the best guy in town. No such thing. Oh, the guy is such a nice guy, and the guy is so in love with her. He's just spending all the money on her. Oh my God. Instead of you feeling, say, a man can receive nothing except is given to him from above. Ah, God gave it to her. And what do? You rejoice. We're going to see it. You rejoice. John said, a man can receive nothing except that which is given to him from above. What a response. Like we should just dwell here, isn't it? What a response. What a response. You learn to be genuinely happy for people. When you see things, don't say, you know, they are pastors. When they see their friend's church growing, they are looking for fault. And it's okay. Maybe it's not really discipling people. Because when you are saying the truth, people don't come. Is your own truth different from what John the Baptist was saying? Is your own truth different from what Jesus was saying? But the crowd still went to them. Twisted thinking. The time to do cooking, they are using human method to do this. Is that your business? Can't you just recognize that a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven? Can't you just say that, look, this is grace. Money multiplies in this lady's hand. That's grace. And you must go and put your seed in her hand so that the grace can rub on you. Are you with me? What are you competing about? A man can receive nothing except it's given to him from above. Next verse. He said, you yourself bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ. He knew his place and he was comfortable on his lane. But I am sent before him. I'm sent as a foreigner. Give me the next verse. I'm sent before him. He that has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. You can't be in competition and have joy. That's what he's saying. You can't be. He's saying, this is my joy fulfilled. I know my place. And I celebrate others. That's what he's saying. And I grow in my place. Because God multiplies his grace upon your life as you recognize your uniqueness. As you are determined to find your satisfaction in him. And make him famous with your own unique story. You plan to marry at 25. You are 30, you are not married yet. Create your own story. Let God tell his story through that situation that will honor him. Don't get agitated. Keep learning. Keep improving. But trust God enough to know that he has a better plan. Are you with me? And rejoice with those you think have things that you desire. Rejoice with them. It doesn't mean they are better than you. They are callings and graces. And that's the next thing. Understanding callings and graces. Amen. You see, certain callings have certain deployments that may look flashy, that may look obvious. Let me give an example. In the house of Jacob, how many of you became prime minister? Talk to me. How many became prime ministers? One. Only Joseph. That's a calling. And for what purpose? To preserve the seed of God. So when you step out of time and you can see with God's eyes, and you can see with divine perspective, the pressure will be off you. There will not be any need to compete. Your brother's or your sister's result, if it's God ordained, if it's God sponsored, is for the same purpose that you also are raised. It's family results. It's family results. It's kingdom results. You rejoice. And it's not an unbeliever that has this. It's my brother that has this. Glory to God. It's my sister that has this. Glory to God. Ah, thank God this is not falling to the hand of an unbeliever. Are you with me? You rejoice because you can see that everybody's assignment is fulfilling the same purpose. Is working for the same divine superior purpose. So for Joseph, he had to be the prime minister to have the voice to move the entire Jewish tribe to Egypt. But when it was time for Jesus to come, which was the principal spiritual reason for which the family was set up, who did he come to? Judah. Imagine Judas said, God, I am useless. I'm so useless. See my little brother, his prime minister. Serious here. No, no, nothing serious out of our lives. And committed suicide. Are you getting the message?
Yes,
so in the eyes of God, your path, your assignment, your path, your unique story contributes to his purpose. Don't rob a generation of your uniqueness by trying to be someone else. Listen, competition is a distraction. It destroys your productivity. It affects your mental health. It blinds your eyes from seeing possibilities. Get out of that zone. And it chokes your joy. Hallelujah. So never get into the rat race. Even if you win the race, you are still a rat. You are still a rat. Amen. You didn't get that. Don't get into the rat race. Even if you win the race, you are still a rat. That means it's useless. Amen. You're calling here. As simple as NYSC. Raise your thinking, please. Sorry, those of you that are young. How can you feel you are behind? Because it took you 1 year to go for NYC. I don't understand. I did not want to serve. Amen. What bearing does that? You can't have that on your posting. Now I'm 6 months behind my mate. Your mate? Who is your mate? You don't have mates. I'm six. She also has cleared your doubts. Amen. Those in private university are 2 years ahead of a regular person in the government school. Is your that compete? You will find your path and trust God to help your journey. That's life. If I end this service here, you are blessed. What are you talking about? Nobody is your main. Get out of the competition zone. Get out of there. Glory to God. Listen. We'll not be prime ministers, but it doesn't mean we don't have purpose. It doesn't mean our assignment. It doesn't mean our assignment is useless as far as the context of God's greater purpose is concerned. It doesn't mean so. I've told you there are no inferior roles in the kingdom. So find your path and be excited in your path and in your journey. Let God manifest himself there quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, and then we'll leave. We'll run. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, for we dare not make ourselves of the number. We don't have a mob mentality. Or compare ourselves as some that commend themselves. But they're measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. That means competition is not wisdom. It's foolishness. Amen. Can we say the way it is? It's foolishness. It's folly. Because there are pictures beyond what your optical eyes can capture. And I've given you illustrations from God's word. There are things you can't see. But with the benefit of hindsight, you see that Kai, God is wise. God is wise. See the path he led me. God is wise. And I know that is somebody's story. You arrive at where God is taking you to. And you look back and say, Kai, God, you are wise. Everything worked together for me to maximize my purpose. Maximize my assignment. You are the all-wise God. Thank you. I'm telling you the truth. That's what happened. So there's no need to look around and think you are ahead when you are not. And think you are behind when you are not. You are only in competition with yourself. You are not in competition with everyone. Listen, this thing is easier said than done. So don't think, oh, after I've heard this message, I finished. It's a lie. The test will come. It will come. But stand your ground. Why? You've been armed with knowledge. Stand your ground. Rejoice with others. Compete with yourself. Listen, a jealous person is a dangerous person. You can't tell what they can do. If you let jealousy take a hold of your heart, you're a monster in human flesh, speaking in tongues. Monster speaking in tongues. Oh, you have no idea. See, when that's where evil happens. Those are the real sins. Yeah. There are at least two men of God in this school, three that I know that have been poisoned. And it's not cult people that poison them. It's people that speak in tongues that poison them. How did it come? Jealousy. One died after 6 hours of prayer. He came back to life. In Abuja, he died. Poison, he died. Touching story. The wife did not let it happen. In the ambulance, he said, you cannot take him to the mortuary. It's not possible. She prayed for 6 hours and summoned for prayer. She led that prayer. The man sneezed and came back to life. In Abuja, he said, you can't bury this man. Where is he going to? 6 hours. That's the true sleep queen. Ladies, as I was saying, pray in tongues. Forget the makeup. Forget the makeup and face God. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. If you are not married yet, truly, prayer increases your bride price. Amen. See. Come on now. Why? Prayer increases your value. I'm not even talking about what they're going to give your parents. No, it increases your value. It increases the value you bring to the table. It's not small thing, paracetamol. Small, you are not children. They say, honey, your husband travel, you are confused when challenges come. Why? You don't have a standing, don't have stature in the realm of the spirit. For what? Girls on fire are rising. And they are here. Amen. Of course, I'm not talking to Glory Zone ladies. Amen. You are all on fire. Praise God. But you see, how poison. And it was money issues. I'm not going into the details. Position. That's what I'm telling you. Jealousy. And see, don't be quick to judge the people. They started by not dealing with the little things. Small jealousy. Kill it. If you need to carry seed and throw on the person, carry seed and sow. Say, send me your account and send seed to the person. Even to openly rejoice. Girl, you are the girl in town. Listen, celebrating others does not diminish you. It doesn't. Rejoicing with others doesn't take from you. Rather, you increase in rank in the realm of the spirit. You are telling spirit beings that you have capacity to receive. That's what you're doing. Because successful people are comfortable with successful people. They are comfortable with the success of others. That's what I'm supposed to say. It's small people. Can't you see that rich people are happy with rich people? It's small people with a crab mentality. It's small people that want to pull everybody down. Run away from there. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? Glory to God forevermore. Number two, anxiety and worries. Anxiety and worries. Listen, anxiety is just a natural response that your flesh has towards uncertainties. It's natural, but you are supernatural. Hallelujah. And truthfully, if you look at the things going on in the world, it makes sense to be anxious. It makes sense to be depressed. It makes sense to be worried. But it doesn't make God. Amen. God has a way out. Glory to God. He has a way out. Like I said earlier, you see, Christianity is not a denial of facts. It doesn't. Don't get us wrong. We have never preached faith in a way that suggests that you should deny facts. No, that's not a faith message. That's not a faith message. You recognize that, look, this is the fact, but the truth of God's word is superior to this fact. What has God said? That's the truth of his word. It's superior to the facts. It's superior. Once you know that, you'll not let Satan rob you of your joy. You'll not let anxiety rob you of your joy. Glory to God. You see, how did I deal with anxiety many years ago? I believe I've mentioned it here before. I used to be anxious. I was worried about many things. I was worried about my destiny. Worried about who I'll marry. Worried about, I was worried and anxious. What if this? Well, I was there as a younger believer. There was a season in my life I sat on Philippians 4:6 and then sat on 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, Amplified Translation. I will meditate and speak it. brothers and sisters, one day anxiety died. He died. Because listen, believe it or not, worrying is an indicator that you don't trust God. That's what it is. It's in Matthew 6. He's there. Hallelujah. He's there. Give me Matthew. Matthew 6. Matthew 6. 25 to 30. 25 to 34. We'll read the whole thing. 25 to 30. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Look at this. Take no thought to your life, for your life. What you shall eat, what you shall drink. If you read a more modern translation, he said, don't be anxious. But there's something you can learn from here. Anxiety is propagated by the thought you take. And you have the power to decide which thoughts to take. That's what he's saying. You can choose your thought. He said, take no thought. Don't be anxious about your life. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall put on your body, the basic things. Is not life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Life is more than the basic things. Life is more than the things people are worried about. That's what he's saying. Next verse, 26. Behold the fowls of the air. They do not sow, neither do they reap. They don't gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Are you not much better? Do you have you come to believe that God is big enough to take care of you? Yes, there's a Jewish teaching about the sovereignty of God that is very powerful. Amen. Of course, there's a pattern to take, but there's a very powerful that believe that God is sovereign enough. God is sovereign enough to gain your trust in the most unpleasant, difficult, unlikely situation. Meaning they believe that if you enter such a space, it's part of his plan. His sovereignty brought you there and he will take you through. That's what he's saying. Listen, God is proactive about birds and grass. How much more you? The next verse talks about the lilies of the field. They are in the morning. They know that toy. They need that toy nor spin. They are in the morning and then they are gone by night. He said, Solomon in all his wisdom, no bath reached them. You know, bath. Amen. This guy bath well. Amen. Solomon in all his in all his wealth and splendor was not as gorgeous, as decorated as these lilies. He talks about the sparrow. He talks about the lilies. So if God, oh glory to God, say God is my proactive supply. No need to worry. No need to worry. In fact, researchers have said that only 8% of your worries are legitimate. No, that's not Bible now. Research. There was a primary care physician in the US, popular. Yes, Dr. Water. Water cover. He said, only 8% of your worries are legitimate. The other ones never come to pass. It's a waste of worry. Amen. Yes, it's a waste. They are needless. They are useless. They were in the past. In retrospect, you saw that they never happened. Glory to God forevermore. He said, your heavenly Father. Give me verse 29. Oh, God Almighty. Let me wrap up. No, the teaching anointing is on me. I've quoted this next 30. He said, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe thee, O you of little faith? So is a worry is an indictment on your faith. And faith flows from a focus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Trust God. Trust God. Throw yourself. That's what trust is. He's big enough. He knows you need a man. In the drama, he says, simple man. Is man simple? Amen. He's a simple man I don't have. So we are simple. Amen. Is that the way we are seeing? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. He knows. He can take care of you. And guess what? He has gone ahead of you. Just be patient. Walk in faith. You will arrive at your heart desires. He has gone ahead. He has gone ahead. You think you need money? God knows. What do you want to tell somebody that knows everything and claims he cares for you? Amen. And claims he cares for you. Hallelujah. My father-in-law used to yab my wife all the time. The first time I went to the house. Okay. And so he's just asking us, oh, so why do you like him? Say, he cares for me. So he now paused. Cornel paused. Say, hey, so I have not been caring for you all these years. And the one firstly wants to attack me. She I told him that you care for me. Better be caring. Hallelujah. Praise God. God cares for you. He does. He's thoughtful. Trust him. Bury worry once and for all. Let's read that 1 Peter 2:7. Amplified. I want you to let it sink. Let it sink. Let it sink. Then we go. Let it sink. Glory to God. If you are blessed, shout, I'm blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amplified translation, 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7, I believe. Amplified translation. Ooh. Is that Amplified Classic? Let's read it together. 1, 2, go. Stop. I want everybody in this church to read. If you're watching online, I want you to read it too. 1, 2, go.
Ask him the whole of your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all.
Yes.
For he cares for you affectionately.
Yes.
And cares about you. Watch.
Oh, my. Let me tell you the key to this verse. Go and sit with it until it sinks. Don't read it in church and leave it. Just go and stay with it. I cast all my cares, the whole of my cares, all my anxieties, all my worries, all my concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for me affectionately and cares about me watchfully. Will somebody carry this verse through the week? And somebody carry this verse through the week, through the month, through the remaining days of this year. You will see that you would have killed anxiety and worries once and for all. Meditate. What does that mean? Speak it to yourself. Shout it out loud. It doesn't matter what you are faced with. Shout it out loud. I cast all my cares, anxieties, worries, concerns. He said once and for all. So don't take it back. Don't leave anything back. For relationship, cast it on him. Glory to God. Once and for all. Hallelujah. Number 3, unregulated social media use. Unregulated social media use. Unregulated social media use. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In 1 Corinthians 6:12, Paul says, all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. He said, all things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meaning, I will not be brought under the control of any. Are you with me? I'll give you some staggering statistics. Listen, there's been a correlation between the explosion of social media use and the increased rate of depression, anxiety disorder, and suicide. That's one. There's a correlation between the emergence of social media, the explosion of social media use, and increased incidence of confusion, lack of productivity, low self-esteem, and even sleep disorder. Are you with me? The problem is not that social media is bad. The problem is, you see, Satan, oh my goodness, how do I put this across? You know, for those who were in the all night 2 weeks ago, I talked about attention engineers. How that a lot of these digital products hire what they call attention engineers. What do? They apply the principles in Las Vegas. Listen, You know, they last year or so, they said that the gambling industry was worth over $100 billion. I'll check the stats. Was in billions of dollars. You think they don't know what they are doing? Once you get there, you want to gamble. Yes, they get your attention. That's Las Vegas. The problem now is, you see, the slot machine is when you are there, you can use it. Do you understand? That's addictive tendencies. The problem is the phone you are carrying is slot machine going with you everywhere. You didn't get it. You are carrying Las Vegas with you everywhere. Something that breaks and fragments your attention. Something that breaks and fragments your focus. This is serious. In the workplace, they will tell you that productivity has dropped significantly. Among those who work. In fact, there are offices where they have to put regulations now. As you are coming, you drop your phone somewhere. You don't go to the office with your phones. Only official phones. Why? These things were designed to enslave you. Listen, any product you use for free, you are the product. You already know that. His basic marketing wisdom. If it's free, you are the product. What part of you is the product? Your attention. So Facebook needs your attention to be able to give a slot to somebody who has a product to sell to you and in turn makes money. So your attention is necessary for their profitability. Are you with me? The profit is from your attention. The problem with that is this. That's what they call dopamine reward loop. You see, your smartphone is made to release certain chemicals. As you are looking at it, are you with me? It's designed to release dopamine in your own brain. So the phone and the social media use has dopaminergic effect on your brain. What does that mean? Dopamine is the chemical release that produces excitement, satisfaction, and a sense of joy and pleasure. Are you with me? Yeah. Are you with me? The problem with that is dopamine has addictive tendencies. Yeah. Guess what? It's the same dopamine that is released when you take cocaine. Same chemical. The same chemical that is released when you are checking your phone for number of likes, or it makes you happy when the likes are increased. It's the same chemical that is released when you take cocaine. So if cocaine is addictive, this is addictive. If marijuana is addictive, this is addictive. Are you with me? The same thing with alcohol is the same chemical. That means to just have ubiquitous access without control and regulation is to set yourself up for failure mentally, physically. Let me read some stats for you. Are you blessed already? Many research has been done connecting the negative outcome of this that raise concern. Extensive use of smartphones are connected with lower self-esteem, emotional instability, and also causing anxiety. He said that young adults who spend the most time on social media were shown to have, now this was done by Childmind Institute, were shown to have a substantially much higher rate, that's 60, higher than 66% rate of reported depression than those who spend least time on social media. In fact, there was a survey that was done among college students. They were all people with depression, reported depression. So they seized phones from one of the group for about 2 weeks. Okay, and they allowed the second group to use social media unrestrained, unregulated. This one, they allow them once in 3 days or once in 2 days. At the end of a month, the symptoms, these were depressed patients, the symptoms of depression reduced drastically in the group that had phones taken away from them and increased significantly in the group that had phones that were given access to unrestrained use of social media and the internet. Research. Are you here? It's God talking to somebody. as I'm talking, be writing your action plan. Some of you have to delete certain apps. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Once you do that, it's like removing the fuel from the fire. Some of you, once you do that, anxiety, depression, low self-esteem will decrease. You see, there's a lot of psychological bullying going on. As you are looking at somebody's carefully curated presentation, and I love the way one of the speakers presented yesterday. You see, some of the people you see, the production you see, they have makeup artists, they have cameramen, they have the best of cameras. Do you understand? Okay, that the algorithm supports very fast. And then they have certain, listen, if you put money, your followership will grow. So you are now getting depressed over someone who gave, someone did a post and put, he has the makeup artist, he has a stylist, he has the photographer, he has the best of phone. You are using, let me not call the name of the phone, amen. You take your picture. Number one, the picture will be finer. Number two, you are your cameraman, you are your makeup artist, you are your social media manager, you are everything. Do you understand? You don't expect to have the same outcome. Cut yourself some slack. You don't expect to have the same outcome. Are you with me? That's one side. The second side is the fake life. Have you seen people making noise about their relationship and then the next 6 months they were divorced? Have you seen it before? Yeah. No, I got married, I told my wife, I said, we're not living for anybody. Amen. Nobody. If you start a business, you don't expect it to produce in the first month. So we're going to be patient and give ourselves time. There's no, this person. That you post your wife or your husband on social media every day does not mean you are in love. Oh. It doesn't mean they are in love. Do you understand? There are too many people living for the gram. Just living for the gram. Why are people under pressure? Why? Just live your life. Just live your life. Be you. And be honest. There are things I say, I cannot be carrying your bag. When I remember, I'll do it. Open door. Do you understand? Nobody is under pressure. I am me. The person you are looking at, that's them. Their personalities are different. Say amen. He said, oh, he's following the wife to go and shop. You can't find me there. You can't find me there. You are comparing your husband with someone else. You are unwise. You are comparing your wife with someone else. You are unwise. Marriage is 80% management, 20% attraction. I've told you before. Manage what you have well. And let it be beautiful. Are you with me? Let it be beautiful. Don't compare your husband. You'll be depressed. The guys in this church, they are not here anymore. They got married. The lady told me, I say, you are wise. The lady told me, say, this one doesn't know how to surprise. He said, I know in this marriage, I can never expect surprise. I said, good. They were not married yet. They were dating. They were in this. I said, that's very good. You are mature. That's very good. Don't compare him with anybody. Say, I've come to terms with it. Say, for all the 3 years you have dated, if it's my baby, say, hey, this is what I want to buy for you for your birthday. Do you like it? Before the birthday, I think you need this. And then buys it and bring it to you. On the birthday, nothing. There's no surprise. Even when you correct him this year, next year, he doesn't remember. I think you need this. I'll buy it for you for your birthday. That's the surprise. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? Say amen.
Amen.
Just enjoy what you have. Be anxious for nothing. Don't let social media put you under pressure. You see, one of the things that's connected with the whole social media I use now is self-insufficiency, feeling of inadequacy. That's the word. A lot of people are feeling inadequate because they saw people in their age bracket, okay, from their school, doing massive stuff there, quote and unquote, amen. And they have been like, I don't preach as good. And don't worry, it happens to us preachers too. I'm not that articulate. I don't dress that well. I'm not that powerful. I don't have this kind of car. There was a time everybody was showing their cars on social media. I'd never had such time. Glory to God. Hallelujah. People, do you understand? And then people come under pressure. Imagine people who are not hearing messages like this, who don't have this understanding. It's daily depression. Daily dues. And let me tell you, this is not about you can't withstand pressure. If you think social media is putting you under pressure, delete it. If you're a public figure and you sell a product, hire someone to be doing the post for you. Amen. Give them your login. They should do the post until you are fine. That's one. Number two, some of you don't have any business being there. No, you don't have. Nobody, you are not selling anything. They are not looking for you. Except you go there to post church content. Are you with me? Get out of the zone. Why? I'll stop this part here. Especially because of the impact it has on your productivity. Let me tell you, an average person picks up their phone 5,000 times a day. I know you don't believe it, but it's research. If you monitor yourself, you know it's true. Average research. An average Instagram user scrolls 3 kilometers with their thumb. 3 kilometers. Man! That's an insult. Your hand is just Jimmy. Just Jimmy. Jimmy on Instagram. It's not showing on your body. One of the things I hate is scrolling. I don't like it. If I met your posts by accident, I'm telling you the truth. I go there, post, check the first things that are there, and then I go to the, there are specific pages I go for inspiration. Inspiration. I want to see the people that are doing things and how they are doing it. I go there and check. And that's all. That guy is going 3 kilometers per day. Are they paying you? Hallelujah. So be disciplined. Okay? Make it difficult to accept. There are things you can do. Deleting apps. Keeping your phone at home. Let me tell you this. The day you keep your phone at home will be one of your happiest, most productive days. Can we do a challenge this week? That's the one day challenge. One of the days of this week, keep your phone at home. And go without phone. Cram a number that you need. Or write it somewhere. In case something comes up, use somebody's phone to call the number. Can we do that? We'll have it by next. One day. And tell me. And then write out your to-do or to-be list. Are you with me? The things you want to do. Not sleep or move you. Mm-mm. Are you with me? Yep. Write your to-do list, your reading list. Now, let me say, the things you've been... Have you noticed that the time it takes to accomplish tasks has increased?
Yes.
Because we are distracted.
Yeah.
We are distracted. There are words you should not forget. Attention fragmentation. Attention are fragmented. You see, boredom is good for creativity.
Yeah.
But what this generation has done is they've taken boredom away. So now, once you get bored, you know what to do. Go on. What I'm telling you, you can go and research it. Human history, researchers have connected boredom with productivity and creativity. So any system that doesn't help you embrace boredom is removing your productivity and creativity. That's what it's doing. So once you are bored, instead of staying, you can practice this. Drop your phone somewhere. Drop it and stay bored and turn your eyes upon the task at hand. Some of you have carried a book to read. It's 2 months. You have not finished it. And you know the knowledge in that book is critical to your next level. Listen, I wrote it in my journal. I wrote it in my message. What I'm sharing with you, especially in the area of social media use and your mental health, is a fight. So you must have a war plan.
Yes,
is easier said than done. It's a fight. You will notice that you produce certain results faster. You accomplish certain tasks faster. It's a fight. Don't approach it like it's a fight. Have a war plan. Learn to trick yourself. Put timers. There's a guy, it's James Clear, right? Yeah. If he changes, they change a password on Monday. His staff, he gives his son to his staff, change the password to all my social media accounts. Give me back on Thursday or Friday. So he cannot log in. And he tells them nobody gives him the password. He can't log in until Thursday, Friday. So you have to create a system that protects your soul. Can I get an amen? Let me just give you a few points in handling this. These three things I mentioned. Number one, make Christ your satisfaction. Make Christ your satisfaction. The impartation is already happening. Hallelujah. Amen. Make Christ your satisfaction. See Christ as a satisfaction. Be satisfied in Christ. Are you with me? He's here, and we've spent time here and they're talking about that in the course of the teaching. He's your satisfaction. Not even the answered prayers. There's nothing like when my God answers me, you all will see. I'm just waiting on Him. Christ is no longer, He's not your satisfaction yet. When is the crux of your existence? You're not trying to blow to please anybody. It is for Him. It is for Him. So before the answers came, you were happy. After the answers came, you were happy. The answers did not define. Thank God for answer prayers. But it doesn't define your relevance. It doesn't define your satisfaction. It doesn't define your joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. This is not a cliche. You see, the Word of God is the album. When you look at it, you see your pictures. Hallelujah. The Word of God, like prayer, is also a place of exchange. Thank you. It's also a place of exchange. Just like prayer, you exchange your weakness for strength. You exchange the anxiety. I'm sure it has happened to almost everybody here. You felt anxious. You felt fearful. You felt worried until you started hearing God's word. You sat down with a message. I mean, after 45 minutes, you were comforted. You were strengthened. Your tongues changed. Suddenly, glimmers of light. There was hope in your soul. You saw yourself rejoicing and celebrating. Not because things have changed on the outside, but because you have changed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Prayer. Prayer and anxiety are mutually exclusive. They don't mix together. Again, it's a place of exchange. That casting your cares we talked about happens to the place of prayer. That's where it happens. Number four, be grateful. Be grateful for the little. Be grateful. Be big on gratitude. Are you with me? Be big on gratitude. If they put some people in your same in this same situation that you went through, they would die. Do you understand? So be grateful. The things you have gone through, if they put some people there, they will die. Be grateful. Some people you are trying to compete with. Their own little beginning was 10 million. Amen. Somebody give them 10 million to start a business. Somebody gave them 10 million to start ministry. You had 500 naira when you started church. 500 naira. Yes. Are you here? Glory to God. Rejoice, celebrate in your own context. I was talking to someone recently. I said my grandfather was a deacon. He said my grandfather was a chief priest. He said my own grandfather was a chief priest. So we're not coming from the same place. You know, a chief priest. He said you have a legacy of faith. Hallelujah. So when somebody is fighting battles, don't say, oh, you don't understand new creation realities. You don't say that. You don't know the incantations his grandfather made on his head. He's trying to break out. Are you with me? It's not the same. It's not the same. It's not the same. I've pastored thousands in this place. Do you know? Those of you have been here long enough. You know the people that passed through this place. And we have to understand our context. We're in a transitionary city. So people pass through and go to other cities. If we are to keep everybody who are pastored, we'll be in thousands. Are you with me? Already. That's many thousands. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And that is important. Yes, it's important. So understand your context. I know my responsibility. You know, I was in Abuja, and one of the guys that follow our ministry, he's a pastor. I mean, he calls it the 52 seconds on Instagram that changed his life forever. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, he pastors a good church in Abuja. He submits to our ministry. On this, my trip, he came to submit. And then, they say his wife, he came with his wife on the second day. He said, his wife, like, what is he doing in Jaws? He said, is he in Jaws? is he in Jaws? When they came to see me, I was yapping. I said, you thought I was not in Jaws? All of you are coming to Jaws for our porridge. He said, hallelujah. I say, there's flight now. I say, yeah, there's flight now, so you can fly. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. There are people in this town who have walked up to me and they say they thought that it was a branch church that was in Jaws, and they are using my picture for the church that they thought I was in Abuja. Hallelujah. Bottom line, understand your context and be grateful to God. Be big on gratitude. To gratitude, you multiply. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lastly, self-discipline. Practice consistent self-discipline. The three things I mentioned require discipline. Rise to your feet. They all require discipline. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Rise to your feet. I have done my job in this service. How many of you agree with me? I've done my job in this service. Just be on your feet. Are your expectations list with you?
Yes, sir.
Can you carry them in your hand? Askeveros kapata. If you are truly blessed, give the Lord a shout. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Deal with competition. Deal with worry and anxiety. There are many statistics there I didn't bother reading out to you. Alarming stuff. Deal with undisciplined use of social media. It's affecting your self-esteem. It's affecting your productivity. It's affecting your mental health. Even when you are there and you see things, rejoice. Are you with me? Rejoice. Don't be sad. Rejoice. Don't be jealous. Rejoice. Hallelujah. You have your expectation. I trust God for a quick walk right now. I trust God for a quick walk. Please, nobody.
Beloved, we know you've been blessed by God's word today. For more life-transforming messages like this, you can visit our website, library.gloryzoneglobal.org, and you can also follow us on our various social media platforms on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Glory Zone Church. Stay blessed.